Welcome to the Marketing Tips for Doctors podcast, where you'll discover the secrets to attracting more patients ready to schedule their first appointments to grow your practice without spending hours and hours away from your practice or home. Hear how to boost your online presence, develop a strong rapport with each one to increase patient compliance while adding value and growing revenue. Now here's your host, Dr. Barbara Hales, America's leading medical strategist.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing Tips for Doctors. I'm your host, Dr. Barbara Hales, and today we have with us Kevin Preen. He's an interesting guy who is America's cyberist. He states, most people don't understand the game they're playing and get frustrated in business, cyberspace, and life. He says, I help you streamline your technology and have greater peace of mind. And let's face it, that's something we could all use. Kevin Preen is CEO of MatrixForce and creator of the patent-pending Delta Method, saving clients billions with a B. He is the author of the number one best-selling books, Easy Prey, Streamlining Technology, and Changing Your Game, along with featuring a featured speaker at Harvard, NASDAQ, Coca-Cola, and Microsoft. Kevin also appears frequently on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox News in an ongoing nationwide tour to warn the public about the perils of cybercrime and ransomware. Most business owners are just trying to go the distance, but they have IT support motivated to work against them. That's why Kevin enjoys working with business leaders that understand cybersecurity can be a competitive advantage. We are most fortunate to have Kevin with us today. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Barbara, thank you so much. That's really humbling coming from a poor handicapped kid in, from rural Oklahoma. But this is such an important topic for your audience that I really do believe cybersecurity should be part of your competitive advantage and be used as part of your marketing, especially in medical.
Now, nobody says when they're little children, I'm going to grow up to do cybersecurity. So how did this happen?
I had really poor vision and had Coke bottle glasses and, you know, a huge overbite. And I was one of the really special 5% that was born without all of my fingers. One of the things that my parents did is said, our son's not going to be left behind. And they gave me all kinds of things to read and to look at. And one of those was some first gaming systems and the very first computers. And I really love strategy. I love creating things. And that was something where you really didn't have to look like everybody else to be really successful on the computer. And the rest is history.
Yeah, look at you, handsome devil now.
That's been a long story as well. Tons of glasses and then contacts and then even laser eye surgery. And 2 years ago, I had a full facial reconstructive surgery with double jaw surgery. And so quite literally, I died to get this face. I went in for the surgery and they did have to revive me. It was a 4-hour surgery, and then I had 8 weeks on a liquid diet where I had to get any sustenance through a syringe and couldn't blow my nose. So it was really made me an expert at change. And of course, that's my new number one best-selling book is Change Your Game. And one of the things I go around and helping people like your audience take those examples and experiences and utilize them in their own lives.
Several years ago, there was something that came out called ransomware that nobody'd ever heard of before, but certainly made every hospital in the country and every healthcare professional shake in their boots when they were told that the computer information was being stolen and that the only way to get it back would be to pay millions of dollars, and that essentially it was being hijacked and being held for ransom, which nobody had ever heard of before, and something that we all worry about now. So if something like that were to happen, like, especially for a hospital that has millions and millions of charts, do you recommend that they pay the perpetrator, or do you recommend that they stall them while they try to do something? What is the approach that you recommend?
You have to be ready for it. And you're exactly right. Still today, a lot of people don't know what ransomware is. And I like to say it's the worst thing that can happen to you on the computer. Basically, bad guys encrypt all of your files, so the computer won't even start up right, and you have no access to your data. Basically, you're dead in the water. No internet, no email, no data whatsoever. And what you have to do is you have to actually disconnect from the internet, and then you have to look at your options. And really, your only options are to quickly eradicate things. You have to format everything and then restore from backup. And that's a really painful process. If you do have a backup, you still lost all that time. And in Oklahoma, where I'm from, in 2016, it was really common for over 1,000 companies to be infected with ransomware every month. And that was about the average across the nation. And that's where I said, wait a minute, I can't be doing this. We could get people up and running, but they would lose 2 weeks and we would lose massive amount of time and loss ourselves. So I got together with 20 other cybersecurity experts from all around the world, and we wrote EasyPrey. And that's what really got me invited for Harvard and the NASDAQ, and then going around and doing a ransomware quiz on national TV. And the short of it is no, you shouldn't pay the ransom because you have little or no expectation of getting your data back. And even if you do pay the ransom, there's no assurance that you're actually going to get all your systems up. Generally, if you do get a key from the bad guys, and you have no idea when they're going to come and give you the information, then if you get access to the systems, it's usually a one-time shot, because the first time you try to restart the systems, they usually won't start up again, and then you're back to the same place.
Do these bad guys ever get caught?
Very rarely, almost never. And that's the other part of it, is it is paid in Bitcoin. You have to be prepared ahead of time with all the contingencies. And that's what I like to get people in the position of, is do you have a ransomware drill that you run through, and here's all the things that we do? Do you already have an incident response page on your website that's already there, and all you have to do is upload a PDF rather than having to think about all this kind of stuff, and who do I contact, and who's on the list, and what's the most important system? All that stuff should be covered in a regular incident response that you do ahead of time, and then you practice that. And then if the worst happens, you're ready and you already have things in place and know what to do, and you don't get stuck having to pay the ransom. Because that's the flip side, right, Barbara, is generally, if someone penetrates your system and hacks in, they're there for more than 45 days. And the average actually in the industry is 123. And in all that time, they will usually go and manipulate your backup so it looks like it's running, but it's not. And so you really don't have a backup. And that's why so many organizations get stuck, because they don't have any contingencies in place, or have even gone to the next level to be able to look out for the stuff. So it's a huge deal and continues to be.
So if a group is fastidious about doing a backup every day, and the backup is not infected, can they be reassured that they can disengage from the bad guys and then just put back the backup that they had?
Oh, absolutely not. As we saw with the MGM breach earlier this year, and that's a big point. Most people don't know the difference between a breach and a hack. A breach is an unintended disclosure of confidential information. A hack is when a bad perpetrator actually takes advantage of a vulnerability and gets into a system. With MGM, just like almost all breaches, because generally everything is called a breach, it was somebody called into the help desk and said they were a new exec with MGM and need an account set up. And people are people. All this makes common sense and after you've heard it once, but the help desk operator set up an account for someone they didn't know, who obviously just looked on LinkedIn and made up a LinkedIn profile. And from there, since they had an account, they could start off and get access to the systems and download their malicious code. And they encrypted over 16 major properties for MGM and all the associated Bally's, all of those associated casinos and any subsidiaries. And they were there a long time and they ended up having to pay the ransom. And that's where none of your clients want to be.
No, I should think not. This is really scary stuff. So do they hire you to come in and do a drill with them and a checklist? Or do you teach people how to avoid having ransomware attack your system? How does it work with you?
Exactly. The difference with that we come in with the Delta method is we invert everything and you take any kind of evidence and you prepare that right up front. Why not be doing a regular HIPAA risk exam? And then just like some of the kids that you went to school with that did their homework but never turned it in, why don't you take the next step and publish your executive summary of your HIPAA risk exam on your website, or even things like a HIPAA compliance form that says we do these top 10 things for HIPAA and it's signed off by the office administrator or the main doctor. And then, oh, by the way, we already have an incident response page. If something happens here, and if something does happen, we're going to upload a PDF of exactly what did happen, but it explains what our process is for handling it. And then if you do an actual drill, you find out lots of holes really quickly. And you have a work plan each year of you start eliminating some holes. And the first years are some big ones, and then it gets less and less. Most medical practices don't have any kind of alerting or management in place to even notice if something's going wrong. So by the time you wait for backup, it's too late.
Yeah, absolutely not. And to tell you, as a patient, it's something that I would feel really very comfortable knowing that anything that was secure about my personal data was not going to be out there on the dark web.
Wouldn't that be great if you went to looked up a doctor's office or a medical practice, and not only did they do really good stuff with patients, but they also were in line with HIPAA, and they had never been on the HIPAA wall of shame at the Office of Civil Rights that you can never get off of.
Really?
And that's the other thing is you can look up by state and see, you can never get off that list. You can go back by time and maybe time heals all wounds of maybe, but you could still be found out there. And the average HIPAA fine is $1.5 million average, even for small practices. And so it could break the bank. But a lot of doctors, I think, are a little bit naive and also don't believe this happens. I don't know if you get that feedback at all.
I'm sure that the whole idea of it is really just foreign language. I don't think that with like all of the fears and all of the worries that are going on a daily basis, the fears that you're talking about really don't even come into play.
I get that as well. I have some doctors that look under the table and then look at me and go, Kevin, I don't see any HIPAA police around here. No, Beretta or whoever it is not coming after me. And that's when I have to explain is no, they're not actively going to show up at your door and say, we're going to come in and do an audit. There's going to be some kind of breach or some kind of complaint from a competitor or from a disgruntled patient. And do you know what, Barbara, do you know what a whistleblower gets for turning a organization in for to the Office of Civil Rights for HIPAA violation?
No.
Take a guess.
$1.5 million?
They get 25% of whatever the fines are.
Wow.
So do you think in a disgruntled employee or a disgruntled patient or a vendor that's working with you that says, hey, you're not doing general business practices for HIPAA, do you think they would be motivated to do that? It's a huge deal. And even the flip side of that is a lot of people will say, Barbara, I have cyber liability insurance. And of course, yeah. And
do most doctors have that?
They're starting to, and it's the same thing. There's no silver bullet. And what's misunderstood is if you're not doing the basics for HIPAA, then there's a specific section that's buried in all these policies that are client responsibilities that you're doing all these things. And they actually have a questionnaire that's getting to be about 100 questions now. That's really specific.
If the doctor doesn't do that, then the insurance is null and void?
Exactly. Because if you're just going down the list and say yes, then it's fraud. And the flip side of that is insurance companies obviously don't like to pay. And they're coming to organizations like Matrix Force and saying, can you run some external scans to see if they're doing the minimal stuff that we've said on the questionnaire? And when people don't, then they're denied even getting insurance right up front, or it's 3 times the fee for the premium.
Do you have this checklist, or this checklist varies depending upon the insurance company?
On our website, we have a cyber risk. If you go to matrixforce.com/cyber risk, there's an example traveler's insurance questionnaire, for instance, that shows that. And the reality is part of what you're required to do is have an annual vulnerability scan. That's a small part of just having a risk exam. Barbara, as a former doctor, I bet you encourage your patients to have an annual physical.
Of course.
And as part of that, then you looked at the chart and there were certain things that you had to explain that maybe I didn't understand. This is the same kind of thing that doctors need to think about for their practice. A vulnerability scan does just that. There's certain things that maybe you don't want to eat all your vegetables or whatever the other things are, or there's certain things that this is the way we do business and I'm going to accept the risk. At least, and that's the whole thing around this. And instead of just a cost of doing business and here's some report somewhere, let's actually use this to improve our practice.
Yeah, absolutely. So this would be our anal exam.
Exactly.
Yeah, and certainly for marketing purposes, as we talked about before the show, certainly this would be a great marketing point to show on a website to say, as opposed to all of my competitors, we actually show that we are not only HIPAA compliant, but we are protected, and that your information is not going to be out there because we are not going to be breached.
We can never say never, but you can definitely put your best foot forward and say, hey, we're doing all these things. and have it regularly checked. And that's even for cybersecurity. Do you know how many cybersecurity firms actually publish their own third-party risk exams and third-party vulnerability scans and their own compliance forms? Almost none. And then how do you look them up at Microsoft or wherever they're at? Less than 3% of our industry is vetted. But HIPAA's been around since 2013. Why doesn't every medical practice have things like that? Here's our executive summary of our risk. Here's a summary of the vulnerability scan. Here's a link to our vetted IT support that does the same thing. Because out of all of the HIPAA violations on the 80-20 rule, 80% are not covered entities. They're not a medical practice. It is their electronic medical records platform, or it is their IT vendor that's not vetted, since 97% of them aren't. And
they're not?
They are not. Only according to the IRS and the FTC, only 3% of IT firms in the U.S. are vetted. Wow. By government and industry authorities.
Wow.
It's not only, if you're a doctor, it's not only your medical practice, it's all your business associates that you are responsible for. And if you're not doing a risk exam and asking business associates, where's your risk exam and where's your business compliance form, then you're violating a big part of HIPAA and you're responsible for knowing that.
So when you are shopping around for the best electronic health record system for your practice, you should be saying to them, are you vetted by the government?
You should be saying, there's two things. It used to be in the old days, do you have a business associates agreement? And people would say, oh, yeah. And no, today you need to have evidence. And that evidence is you have a third party that does a risk exam. And they should be able to provide an executive version of that, so there's not a lot of privacy details in it. And then secondly, there is a HIPAA compliance form to fill out, like I mentioned before, that the top 10 things of, yes, we do data breach training, and yes, we do have these policies and procedures, and yes, we do a disaster drill, all those kind of things, those top 10, a officer in that organization signs off on that and puts their money where their mouth is, because otherwise the practice is totally liable. If the practice is doing what it's saying and there's fraud from a business associate, or if they're not doing what they're saying, then guess who's going to bear the brunt of the fine? It's going to be the business associate. And you have some capability for the practice then to recoup some of their losses.
Scary stuff. So let's say, as a doctor, I am your client. Do you come to my premises or do you just scan everything virtually?
No, it's twofold. We do an on-site analysis and then create a system plan from that. And then we have a risk exam that we run through that's questionnaire, and we help and develop the evidence for those. And then thirdly, we do a vulnerability scan and go over all that with you. And you come out with those really five deliverables. You end up with a risk exam, the executive summary, the business compliance form, the top 10 policies and procedures. You got a system plan now, so you're independent from your IT, and you have a work plan for next year.
Okay, which is all great. But the next question I have for you is that all of the computer hardware is not only generated from the office itself. We have hookups from hospitals and laboratories. So do you check those out as well, or do you recommend that we don't connect with them? How do we handle that?
In the old days, and people still think this way, I used to have to send a team and a special piece of equipment and ask for all kinds of accounts and authorization and credentials. And it would take a week or so to run, and we'd be disrupting the practice, and then come back and have the results in a couple of weeks. The technology today is literally that I can send an email to 3 or 4 people in your organization. It will scan external as well as internal of your network and tell you the vulnerabilities in your cloud, in your remote, and in your office all at the same time. And it gives you an idea. It starts answering those questions of maybe we shouldn't be connecting some of these things remote, or these are some things we need to turn off.
So is it possible to just connect to get lab results, and then when we're not actually searching for lab results, to keep it disconnected?
Correct. Everything today, encryption is the only safe harbor for a data breach. Everybody should write that down. And you should have an encrypted connection to everything you do through a VPN. And then, yes, when you're disconnected, there shouldn't be any kind of attack plane for that. And access should actually be blocked.
And do you also set up encryption for our cell phones, for text messages as well?
Insurance companies will ask you, that'll be one of the big questions, is do you have encryption? And people will say, I think so. I think Microsoft has it. And they'll say, yes. They are talking about you need to have encryption on any servers, any workstations, and any of your smartphone devices or tablets, and any systems that you connect with. What's that?
So it's automatic now for the iPhone?
It is automatic. You need to have software that actually can prove that and shows that setting was in place. Just like Windows, BitLocker is included. Very few people turn that on, and they don't have a system that shows that, yeah, here's a list of machines and all these drives were encrypted. You have to have all of that.
Okay. So yet a few more things to stay awake nights worrying about.
On the marketing level, that's why you start out with the risk exam, because then you have all that evidence and you have a peace of mind. And you say, hey, there's a piece of software that's actually monitoring this and can spit out a report at any time. And some doctors like to go and look at it, because they like data and they like shiny things and seeing the different objects, and some don't and just want to have the peace of mind for that. And that's what good cybersecurity does, because it's also lowering your cyber liability insurance when you have all of these things.
Okay, so let's say I'm the type of doctor that says, okay, I'm now your client, and I'm also not interested in checking up every day to see what's going on with that. I have the other stuff that I want to do. So I'm relying on you as my be-all to be monitoring that for me, and that if there's a breach, that you'll be able to detect it right away and take care of it or let me know. And so is that correct in my thinking?
Kinda, but it's just like when I interviewed Dr. Oz. One of the things that I asked him is, as he was running for Senate, is what do you think and how do we step up to prevent what Warren Buffett calls the biggest threat than nuclear war, which is cyber terrorism, cyber attacks, and cyber crime? And he had a really interesting answer for me that I use regularly. He said, I had dinner with some prominent cybersecurity people, and they said, definitely don't pay the ransom and get prepared right up front. But the biggest thing he said is 97% of all breaches are from the person who's at the keyboard. And everybody has to be responsible for their own use on a computer. And that's exactly right, is I can't protect you from yourself on the computer because you're making all the decisions and you're pressing all the buttons, but I can help you avoid loss and improve your operations. And yes, we're looking out if something does happen, but you're just not off the risk scale, and you're responsible regardless. And that's coming full circle, is we're now seeing CIO of, for instance, is, or excuse me, the CIO of SolarWinds is now being federally prosecuted for fraud for not filling out a risk exam properly. It's a huge deal.
This has been an absolutely fascinating episode. Can you give us two tips that our listeners can implement right away to protect themselves or to see about their system now to show that they are woefully in need of correction?
Well, one tip is if you're a medical firm with 25 users or more, then we have a free vulnerability scan and penetration tests. It's usually $10,000 that we're able to run to be able to protect organizations like that and give them an idea. That would be one thing. And that's at matrixforce.com/cyberrisk.
That and is then a for great gift. Every Thank user, you so much.
For every user, it's called multi-factor authentication or two-factor authentication. All it means is password protection. If you'll go to security and settings in any app, including all your social media, it needs to be turned on because generally password hacks are the biggest way that people are attacked, and still less than 65% of online accounts have two-factor authentication turned on.
Right. But wouldn't you recommend that any social media not be done in a medical practice anyway, that if you're going to be using social media, that it should just be home and not have anything to do with the actual practice?
It's exactly. You definitely need to get with your attorney, and anything should be really vanilla for events and those kind of things, because if you expose a patient image, name, anything else in social media, then it's a violation, and you start the whole investigation of what else are you doing?
Sure. Thank you so much for being with us today. We've been listening to Kevin Freem, and he has been an absolutely fascinating person in cybersecurity. And his Delta Force and Matrix Force has been really helpful and really fascinating. So you have been listening to another episode of Marketing Tips for Doctors with your host, Dr. Barbara Hales. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to Marketing Tips for Doctors. If you like the podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review. Press the subscribe button so you never miss an episode, and tell your friends about the show. Join us on MarketingTipsForDoctors.com for replays and more resources to help grow your practice, strengthen your brand, and dominate your field. Remember, you are one tweet from greatness.